donate, and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. And, John, you know about the Bilderbergers, right? We've done plenty of programs on them.
Well, yeah, they started right after World War II.
And all of these so-called elite, and there's a lot of people that, especially here in the Democratic Party, that are parts of that Bilderbergers, all the billionaires are. And anyhow, so they just had their meeting again in Davos, and now there was an insider in there who decided to, well, let's hear what he has to say.
This week, in total secrecy, the 71st Bilderberg meeting was held at a luxury hotel in Stockholm, Sweden. No press conferences, no public oversight. Just a carefully selected group of global elites. Tech billionaires, royals, intelligence chiefs, and unelected bureaucrats. And according to a whistleblower from inside the meeting, the agenda was clear. They officially endorsed the outbreak of World War III, intended not just to redraw borders, but to reduce and reshape Western nations, clearing the path for something far more sinister, a one-world government. And in the days since that decision, the world has already been turned upside down. War has erupted between Israel and Iran. Alliances are fracturing. Escalation is accelerating. It's not coincidence, it's choreography. And here's the chilling part. The blueprint for global rule, the plan to collapse the old world and replace it with a centralized technocratic regime, has never been this detailed or this close. Earlier this week, the global elites gathered once again, this time in total secrecy, at a luxury hotel in Stockholm for the 71st Bilderberg meeting. On the guest list, Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, the top brass from the World Economic Forum, Peter Thiel and Alex Karp, the founders of Palantir, senior executives from the WF and the WHO, US politicians from both sides of the aisle, and a whole lot more. And what's on the agenda? Depopulation and replacement migration. Yes, you heard that right. After 71 years, they're openly discussing how to reduce populations and reshape the demographics of the West. No wonder globalists from the US and Canada went to desperate lengths to avoid being seen.
And here is Chrystia Freeland making her getaway. There she is. She just got into that car there. Absolute proof Chrystia Freeland was here. If anybody wants to argue that, I have the proof.
Election denier and self-confessed Satanist Stacey Abrams was also in attendance, trying to slip out the back door without being seen, after discussing plans to depopulate the globe.
You're on the wrong side of history, Stacey. God is watching you. You're going to reap what you sow. The Trump administration needs to get you arrested, and very soon.
And yet, not a single headline in the mainstream press. Not a single camera. No questions. No accountability. Why? The Bilderberg Group operates under Chatham House rules, meaning the media are barred from covering these meetings. But many of the very journalists who work for legacy outlets like New York Times, The Economist and Bloomberg are actually in the room. Think about that. The people who are supposed to hold power to account are sipping cocktails with power behind closed doors. They are invited to attend, but they're not allowed to report on anything they see or hear. That alone should tell you everything you need to know about who they really are. Mainstream journalists are not watchdogs, they're collaborators. They're not there to shine a light on the powerful, they're there to shield them from it.
At a 1991 closed-door meeting of fellow internationalists, billionaire and former CFR chairman David Rockefeller praised his media allies, but his confidence that his words would not leave the room was later broken.
We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other publications whose directors have attended our meetings and restricted their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government.
That these men aim to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. In short, they seek total and quiet control of the entire world.
This isn't journalism, this is complicity. And this is why the rise of citizen journalists and independent media is vital in destroying the New World Order and holding globalists to account.
Mr. Thiel, do you have any comments about Palantir's surveillance of the American people, sir? Or any of your connections to Jeffrey Epstein? I think people are rather concerned about that last particular one. You're setting up a Big Brother surveillance system, and people know it, sir. Do you think the American people want this surveillance tech being used against them? Any comments at all on the Epstein connections? You're meeting with them? Stone Cold Peter Thiel. Of course, co-founded Palantir with Alex Karp, who is still here. And these are the guys who are setting up the Big Brother surveillance system, essentially to track, trace, and database everyone. Not just Americans, you may have heard me say that, but literally everyone. And that's big reason of part of the reason why he is here. There is a lot of heavy kind of tech representation here and military men who are preparing for something.
Shadowy intelligence operatives and military-linked power players were present at Bilderberg this year, reportedly to finalize plans for triggering World War III, a final global catastrophe the elite believe they need to pave the way for a new world order. According to a whistleblower with knowledge of the closed-door sessions, the presence of Palantir co-founders Peter Thiel and Alex Karp was no coincidence. Both men are on the record advocating for the US to open not one, not two, but a three-front war, a military fantasy that borders on suicidal. Anyone with a shred of military understanding knows that a two-front war is a massive gamble. A three-front war? That's not a strategy, it's sabotage. These globalist billionaires aren't even pretending to prioritise peace, stability or national interests. Their agenda is clear. Plunge the US and the broader Western world into chaos and collapse. Then reshape what remains in their image. Exactly as the Bilderberg Group made clear in the first meeting in 1954.
En el año 54 se celebra la primera reunión Bilderberg y en el acta se recoge que van a crear un nuevo orden mundial.
So before you become the prime minister of a country or a chancellor of Germany or something like this, yeah, or getting into a high position, they want to know, will this person follow more or less their nicely presented orders or not?
Since 1954, the date of its foundation, Bilderberg meetings are conferences that bring together influential people from around the world. Country leaders, media owners, bankers, shareholders of big pharmaceuticals, owners of big tech, members of royalty, as well as representatives of supranational organizations, such as the World Health Organization or NATO. As you can see, many also belong to the new fashion club, the World Economic Forum.
They're not hiding it anymore. The masks are off. And, according to well-placed sources on the inside, what we're seeing is nothing short of a deliberate march towards engineered destruction. The plan to use global war as a gateway to a one-world government isn't new. It's been in the works for centuries, quietly passed down through think tanks, dynasties, and secretive summits. Now, the globalists are putting the final pieces in place. This year's Bilderberg meeting in Sweden will go down in history as the moment the elites gave their silent approval, the green light to ignite World War III. Not as a last resort, but as a calculated step towards collapsing the old world and constructing a new world order in its place.
But I think it's of the utmost importance to cover this particular event, because what we're talking about here, what we're dealing with, is around 120 people on average. And these are some of the most powerful and influential people in the world. We're talking about the heads of finance, heads of military, the politicians and royalty and media moguls and a lot of people who can really pull the strings on world-shaping events. So often when you come, you get an idea of some of the things you can expect to see in the near future just by simply paying attention to who they are inviting and some of the things that they are talking about. And, you know, you mentioned Peter Thiel. We already showed that clip. The reason why I, you know, nailed him there in a confrontation was because he's here and he's secretly, you know, meeting with some of the global elite. And he is the guy who co-founded Palantir with Alex Karp. This is like a defense contract where they engage with the military on all sorts of things. But recently, the Trump administration has expanded Palantir's capabilities to essentially point the cameras on the American people and to pretty much surveil them, you know, all through and through. It's like essentially setting up the Big Brother surveillance control grid is what they're working on. So I decided to confront him about that. And as you saw from the clip, I also brought up the fact that this guy's met with Jeffrey Epstein. Like, this, you know, came out not too long ago. He's I may have accepted some funds from, you know, Jeffrey Epstein.
The global elite have long admired China's model of total surveillance and social control, and now they're working to replicate it in the West. At the forefront of this push is Palantir. The data mining giant quietly embedded itself into every corner of US infrastructure. It's about control through chaos. War is a key part of the plan, a crisis big enough to justify the surveillance dragnet. And it's no coincidence that Peter Thiel, Palantir's co-founder and a key Bilderberg insider, has reportedly been summoned to Israel as tensions escalate.
Peter Thiel, it looks to me like he just left, like he just booked it out of here. Okay. And the reason why I think so is because he left with his luggage. And you got to consider what's happening right now with Iran in Israel. Yes. And the fact that, you know, he's, you know, running Palantir and probably had to, you know, take off to his buddies in Tel Aviv or something, because it's very bizarre that he would leave so early. But when you consider, you know, what's happening right now in the world, it's like he's got some bigger things to deal with right now.
The pieces are moving. The infrastructure of control is being built under the cover of war. According to a source on the inside, the mood behind closed doors wasn't just tense, it was apocalyptic.
You want to know their plan? All right, but you need to understand, this isn't just speculation anymore. I was there, and the things they were talking about have already started happening. You've got to understand, these people are on edge. These aren't the smug, untouchable elites you see on magazine covers. Not anymore. They're jittery and paranoid, afraid the trap they set for the world is about to snap shut on them instead. Klaus Schwab has already been pushed aside. He failed to deliver the outcomes they needed fast enough. And now, the others are panicking. There's real fear among them. They know 2025 is the year. The year the world must change dramatically. Or their dream of a new world order dies. No more slow burn strategies. No more half measures. They're done with half-assed pandemics and limited proxy wars. This time, it's all or nothing. On the first day of the summit, before the cocktails were even finished, they gave the green light for Israel to escalate. I watched them raise their glasses, laughing and toasting as if it were some kind of twisted celebration, a champagne-fueled send-off for the start of a war that could end millions of lives. They wanted to spiral. They wanted to drag in the U.S., then Russia, then China, and finally the rest of the world. A full-scale holy war. One that fractures every system, every alliance, every illusion of order we still cling to. They've set the dominoes up, and all it takes is one push. They even spoke openly, gleefully, about the use of next-generation weapons. The kind that don't just wipe out cities, they wipe out continents. If the U.S. takes the bait, we're looking at wastelands where nations once stood. And that's not all. Alongside the war, they're planning something far worse than COVID. Something horrific. Something engineered. A hemorrhagic plague designed to melt your skin, bleed you out, destroy your nervous system from the inside. I've seen the models. I've read the projections. They want it to spread globally, and they want the chaos that follows. Because when the world is on fire, when people are dying in the streets, and everything you've ever trusted collapses, that's when they step in. That's when they offer the solution. A global digital ID, microchipped vaccine passports, centralized control. And after everything you've endured, they know you'll beg for it. That's the plan. That's the final phase. And if we let it happen, if we let fear drive us into their hands, then this world we're living in now, with all its problems, will look like paradise compared to what comes next. You want a future worth living in? Then reject them. All of them. Do not comply.
The only No Kings protest we need right now should be aimed directly at the people behind those Bilderberg doors. Strip away the secrecy, end the Chatham House rules. Shine a light on the unelected, unaccountable elites who pretend to rule with benevolence while eroding every cornerstone of free society. They don't speak for us, they weren't chosen by us, and they have no right to shape the future for us. They are illegitimate kings of the modern age. And the irony is, while they cloak themselves in secrecy to protect their power, it's their very secrecy that reveals the truth of who they are. And the tide is beginning to turn. More and more people are waking up, and they're not staying silent. On his way to Israel after authorising the war, Peter Thiel was confronted by a member of the public, called out face to face for his meetings with Jeffrey Epstein and his role in the unfolding chaos. The era of quiet complicity is coming to an end.
Peter Thiel, my clip of you is going viral because the people know what you're doing, pal.
Satan! Satan, evil, demon, pedophile!
And across Stockholm, widespread protests erupted, led not by politicians or activists, but by ordinary Swedish citizens, determined to resist the rise of the New World Order. The movement was organic, spontaneous, and deeply rooted in a shared refusal to be ruled from the shadows by billionaire friends of Jeffrey Epstein. The 1% of the 1% and their loyal foot soldiers in the media and political classes are marching in lockstep. To them, the Great Reset isn't a theory, it's a mission. And the faster they can dissolve national borders, reduce the Western population, and usher in a global government, the better. The fact that ordinary people reject their twisted, almost fantastical vision doesn't faze them in the slightest. Their detachment from humanity is so complete, they see public resistance not as a warning, but as an obstacle to crush. But the future isn't theirs to claim. And no matter how fiercely they tighten their grip, the world is stirring. People are waking up. And we're not just demanding answers anymore. We want justice. Real justice.
All right, we're back. And, you know, John, you know, Klaus Schwab, the last I heard, he was hiding out. His daughter had come out, and she had testified that he was a part of this whole organization that they were talking about, and that they had a plan that they wanted to activate right away, and that would be to depopulate the planet, and they wanted to use more of these biological warfare to do it. And so she testified, and she actually said that she was afraid for her life. She was afraid for her life because she came forth and she blew the whistle. Now, this Peter Thiel, he's that multi-billionaire who was very anti-Trump before. All of a sudden now, he, along with some of the others, a number of the others, have become very pro-Trump. Do you think you could trust him?
I don't know, Pastor Ernie. You know, I have the same thing. Any of them at that level, but Trump has really upset the apple cart here, Pastor Ernie. I mean, big time. We were on the verge of a slam dunk by the deep state there, the New World Order, World Economic Forum. And Trump coming in, it really upset their plans, Pastor Ernie.
It did. What about, how in the world, Stacey Abrams, I mean, no credibility with that woman. She you know, she's been caught so many different times. And, you know, what did Biden ended up giving her? What was it? A huge amount of money.
$20 million.
Yeah. And so, and here, you wouldn't think that she would be amongst those that would be given, you know, enough credibility to, you know, to be that slick, because she has messed up time and time again.
Yeah. She's a politician in Georgia, and she's failed every time she ran for office, but apparently they gave her, through that USAID, I think that's the agency, she got $20 million, and the way that she washed it was she gave it to her law firm. So the law firm she works with is involved in it also, but that's where the money went, into that law firm. It went through her to the law firm.
It was like Soros sent out a shopping list, and he told his people to go find black women. And it's an interesting thing, because so many of them look alike. These women that were prosecutors, it seems like they were like all overweight. And I mean, they just look alike. And they were, every one of them were very racist, very anti-male, anti-white male, especially. And so you had Big Fanny there in Atlanta. You had Stacey Abrams. You had
James in New York.
James in New York. You had the one that was in St. Louis, Missouri. What was her name? Remember that she tried to bring charges against a couple that were protecting their own property. Pardon?
Yeah, they were defending their own property.
Yeah, and so it's like he said, these are the ones we want, because anyone that goes against these black women will brand them a racist immediately. Will lean that. So they found these women that seem to really have this hatred towards white men, huh?
You're right. I mean, Soros, I don't know if it's Soros himself. He's providing the money, but there's an agenda there. And Pastor Ernie, Trump knows this, and Bondi knows this, and the head of the FBI knows this. Don't you think it's time that they start bringing down Soros and his empire there, Pastor Ernie?
Well, it's very hard to bring down a guy with that kind of money because of the layers and layers of security he has. when they decide to go after him, it's hard to get him, because you have layers of security that they get injunctions, this or that, and even to know where he's at all the time. But, yeah, it's way, way past time. In fact, a number of countries... Putin has a warrant out.
He's selling in France.
And Russia, too. Putin has a warrant out for his arrest. It's the same thing with Bill Gates. They had a warrant out for his arrest in Italy, you know, to do with hurting the children, okay, with his vaccines and things, okay. So there was a warrant out there. In fact, I had a little clip. I'm going to have to save that and play it later, because I can't find it right now, on Bill Gates, where he really gets fronted out. He doesn't expect the people to flat out ask him the questions that they were asking him. But I'm sure Gates was one of the ones that was at this meeting there.
I haven't heard anything from Gates in the longest time, Pastor Ernie. He's really laying low.
Well, he tried to, remember, he wanted to push through blocking out the sun, and he started that, wanted to start doing that there in Britain. And here, RFK put a stop to it here. He was going to do it here. He had the plans on doing it. He had the money and the aircraft and all that. He wanted to, you know, again, put there in the... environment there in the sky, he wanted to black out the sunlight. The idea they're trying to...
I knew about it in Great Britain, but I didn't hear anything about that here. But he's just not visible anymore, which is good, a good thing. Did you see where Cerros's son married that...
Abedin, boy, they deserve each other, don't they? She was one of Hillary's girlfriends, and she was Wiener's. Remember Wiener, former Congressman?
They were married.
Yeah,
weren't they married?
Yeah. And boy, there was a lot of stuff on Wiener's laptop. And the DOJ, you know, they want to get a hold of all of that. The corrupt DOJ, they're under Biden. You know, they hid all of this stuff. But, boy, Wiener had a lot of stuff that included Hillary and the Bidens and his wife. And they were involved with Epstein and Epstein's Island. A lot of that was on his laptop. But
now you don't hear anything about it now. You know, I mean, this stuff goes into like another dimension. You know, like, for example, there was that big push to get all Epstein's clients, and now that's gone into limbo. There was more information going out about Kennedy's assassination. I mean, some little stuff came out, and you don't hear any more. Robert Kennedy's assassination, a little comes out, and then you don't hear any more. Martin Luther King, they never put anything out on that yet. But that was a big thing when Trump came to office. We're going to get this out. We're going to lay it all out, and then it just ends.
Yeah, I know. You know, here again, like I said, we're all... You know, we want to see some arrests. We want to see what happened to our people happened. You know, we're not looking for vengeance. We're looking for justice. But you were talking about those that just disappeared. You know who's really laying low? And that is Dr. Mengele. Fauci. Mengele Fauci.
Oh, Fauci.
He is really laying, I mean, very, very low. And you know who else is hiding out? Who made millions off of the selling the children trafficking? Mary Arcus. Mary Arcus he's been hiding and laying low too. Now I don't know what's going to happen. You think with this Comey thing? I don't know how much they have. I know that they've been trying to get those in the FBI that worked under Comey. Some whistleblowers. I know they've been going after as much information because this guy, he committed high treason. He committed high treason, Comey did. And I see that also Milley has come out and said, so, I guess, with some nasty comments, General Milley, against our new Trump's press spokesman woman, that he's really because of some of the comments she made. But Milley is paranoid. He has mentioned several times that he's afraid that Trump might, even though he's got a Biden pardon, but if the Biden, we'll be back right after this.
I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This world is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. heaven's my way, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Family again, gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when, I'm blessed by you. Gaining treasures, preaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This world is not for I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see my mansion on high through glorified eyes. How happy I'll be.
All right, we're back, and we are back with Big John McTurnan. John, you had mentioned earlier, you talked about Zoran Mamdani. This guy, boy, man, I'm telling you, this guy is an absolute lunatic. I mean, he's a hardcore communist there. And do you hear some of the things he wants to do? He wants to spend billions of dollars to give illegals and criminals gang members' homes there in New York. And this guy is a hardcore communist. But anyhow, you know who Wayne Allyn Root is, right?
Yes.
Well, here's what he says. I was born and raised a Jewish New Yorker. I graduated from New York's Columbia University. I spent 20 years in Manhattan. I loved New York, but now the unthinkable has happened. A politician with a combination that I never thought possible in his position to run America's biggest city. Here's the unthinkable combination. A radical communist and a radical Muslim, a pro-Hamas Jew-hater, has won the Democratic primary for mayor of New York. And here, there is still hope. He hasn't won yet. He still needs to win the general election. There are two decent candidates in New York City, Mayor Eric Adams running as it. Well, Adams has really come back towards the center, hasn't he?
He has. You know, Pastor Ernie, Trump really went to bat for him, for Adams.
Yeah, I know.
Because Adams stood against the illegal aliens coming into New York and how dangerous they were.
And a month later, he was under investigation for, I forget, some, he got, it was minor things. And when Trump came to power, the Justice Department dropped the charges against him.
Well, you got to remember this. Mayor Adams was all for the illegal aliens, you know, and giving sanctuary cities until they left Texas, and Texas started shipping them to New York. And once
that's
they
exactly
started,
right.
Then all of a sudden, that all changed, you know. And so then all of a sudden, Mayor Adams said, hey, wait a minute, now, you know, he changed his whole position. Now, here you also got the Republican, believe it or not, New York City's got a Republican candidate, and that's the fellow who was the former guardian angel, that Curtis Sliwa.
Sliwa.
Yeah. But, you know, I couldn't support him either, along with Adams, because they're pro-abortion, both of them pro-abortion. They don't have one pro-life candidate in that wicked city.
I don't see, Pastor Ernie, how a pro-life candidate could win in New York City.
Well,
that's how wicked it is.
It is completely wicked. You're right about that. I mean, it's Babylon. But, you know, well, if they think that 9/11, you know, was bad, wait till they see what God's got in store for them, huh? Going to learn.
This could be a political 9/11 for them, Pastor Ernie, because they're already talking about Wall Street pulling out and going to southern Florida. All the big brokerage firms and banks down there in Wall Street, they apparently have set up sub-offices already in South Florida. So if this guy comes in, they might just pull Wall Street right out.
Well, it's because of the gangs. I mean, the criminal activity. Remember when Obama said he wanted a civilian army that was every bit as powerful as the military, okay? Civilian force, he said. And that's the gangs he was talking about. Remember, Obama was a former community organizer, and that's just another word for gang leader and mob leader, if you will. And so here, they haven't had a good mayor since Giuliani, have they?
No. He really turned the city around, Pister.
Yeah, he did. And so here.
Did you see where that congresswoman from Los Angeles openly told all the gangs in Los Angeles to keep your turf and take on the ICE and take the feds on about illegal immigration?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
That's insurrection. Actually, if you hold a public office.
Yeah.
And so the DOJ, this is what, you know, what the people keep saying, when are we going to see some arrests? Well, they have gone after a couple of them. That one congresswoman there from, the one that stormed and did some blocks.
She's from New Jersey.
Yeah. She, I have an article on her. They're going after her. She could face as much as 13 years in prison. Of course, that'll never happen. The Democrats, they'll cut some kind of a deal with her, okay? But she needs to go to prison. At least she needs to be taken out of Congress. I mean, I know, you know, basically what she, you know, she did, the body slamming, and that was no big. You and I, we've had a lot worse than that happen to us out there trying to save babies. And I've been shot at. They've tried to run me over. A guy tried to stab me in the eye. I mean, I've had all kinds of things like that. And those people never go to jail, the ones that out there. But this woman, because these are federal officers, if they need to really, her and that judge, that one who tried to help the criminal escape.
From Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going after her. I think they're getting a conviction. Now that the court has ruled, like you said, this is going to take away a lot of the fire out of these district judges are going to say, hey, now, since they've ruled this, this means I'll get removed or I can get charged with criminal activity, huh?
Yeah, obstruction of justice. A judge can't, legally a judge can't make decisions against the law. So the Supreme Court has told the courts, the lower courts, you can't do this. This is the power, this belongs to the power of the president. So if they knowingly go and do it, that's obstruction of justice.
And so now, and these judges, you know, that they go out of their lane, who their district, you know, there's a reason that word district is used. That's where in their authority lies when they decide, well, you know, if they can go over the whole country, they may be able to go to other countries and just put their rules and their laws down, try to enforce them in other countries too. I mean, it's like they've lost their mind, huh?
The left, Pastor Ernie, the hard left here, the communists and all them, they, and they're thinking they are actually like God. They've got the power. They can do whatever they want. That's the way they think. And that's why they're so angry, they're so upset, because they're being put in place. And they hate the Constitution because the Constitution limits them. You know, Pastor Ernie, as I look at history and I look back at the United States Constitution and I look at other countries, what they've done and all, I mean, the Constitution of the United States was absolutely brilliant on giving enough power to the president and the courts and Congress so that we could function with a tremendous political system where the people voting can decide. It really was marvelous what they did, Pastor Ernie, when they formed the Constitution of the United States.
Here's something that just came out. This is ex-Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy sounds alarm on these two threats to democracy. Former Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy Thursday cautioned that contentious political debate alongside a spike threats to judges are putting U.S. democracy at risk. Kennedy and nearly...
That is, Pastor Ernie, what that is they're putting the Democrat hard left control under risk. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That whole code word, that has nothing to do with democracy, Republican government, you know, and all of that. That is, they are in great danger. They are.
Yeah. And so there you go. And, you know, of course, you know, he was one, Kennedy, that was, he was put on the court by Ronald Reagan. And it's something how these people will, you know, betray, especially Sandra Day O'Connor. Boy, she really betrayed him. And Reagan said that was the, that was his worst, again, when it came to regrets in his administration, that was his worst regret. They had just something recently today, P. Diddy, it looks like they're talking about, the prosecution is saying they're very close to a, let me read it to you here. They're very close to a, a conviction on him. Okay. Jamie Foxx reveals why Diddy wanted to sacrifice him. He's saying that Jamie Foxx, he's the one that has that program on the cable channels. Now, here it's coming out, too, that a number of the people that were there at Diddy's mansion were involved with that. A lot of it comes out. You won't believe who was there, Al Sharpton. And,
my goodness.
Of course, Hillary was there. She was a part of that. The Clintons were a part of that. All of this stuff is coming out little by little. And so now there's another of other... You know who's blowing the whistles? His former bodyguards are blowing the whistle on him. I was looking here, but they say that that they're very close. They believe that they're going to get a conviction very close here on a number of charges there. But anyhow, it's, you know what time it is? It's time for you to tell the folks how they don't have to spend eternity with Democrats, because if they repent and they accept Christ as the Savior, huh?
Well, yes, Pastor Ernie, and it's very interesting about the things you said earlier on, what the teachings are out there and how contrary they are to the Word of God. So I think of, like, in this modern religion that's forming, you said there's no repentance, correct?
Right. Well, this is what they're teaching here, that it's I'm trying to think of the new name that they're having. They're always coming up with these new definitions, new names. But it's where it's global, that there is no... The Christ has already forgiven. They're teaching that Christ has already forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven already. The judgment, there is no more judgment coming. It's already done. Don't let these conservative Christians scare you and tell you you have to obey this law, obey that law, this and that. That you have global salvation for everybody. That's what they're teaching.
Yeah, and the Bible, the last commandment of Jesus Christ when before his ascension, 40 days after he rose from the dead, he stayed on the earth for 40 days ministering and things like that. And then he ascended into heaven, and he left instructions for the disciples who became the apostles what to do. And actually, the very first thing he said was that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name throughout all the world, beginning in Jerusalem. So the very first thing he said, Pastor Ernie, was repentance. That the last things he was leaving the disciples with, one of the first things he said, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name. Well, repentance is pretty clear. Repentance is you've been living a life of sin without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you do an about-face. And you're going the other way now, following him as your Lord and Savior and the Word of God. So that, for salvation, for eternal life, that's a must. And then remission of sin. Remission means to do away with the penalty. And that is done by what he did on the cross. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the penalty for sin. So, and that involves his shed blood. So that, in fact, that is the gospel. The gospel, as Paul laid it out, is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So that is the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sin. If you don't preach that, then you've got a false religion, like Pastor Ernie, you were mentioning again early in the show. If you don't preach Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sin, what do you have, Pastor Ernie? Now, you've got like a social club. A church becomes a social club without any of the truth of the Word of God in it. Right?
Right. Let me ask you this real quick. I know we don't have much time. But these people, you know, I had considered letting them come on the radio program and rebuking them. But because, you know, their whole argument is totally against what the Lord Jesus preached. But But when I think about it, there are people out there that are just looking, you know, they don't want to become saved because they feel that they'll have to be in compliance with God's laws, and they want to party hardy until, you know, like one said, when I get old, I'll get saved like you. But it's to give these people a platform to get up there and even espouse, even if it's, you know, total lunacy to you and I, there may be people out there listening that are looking for somebody to try to justify their refusal to repent of their sins. So that's why I haven't given them a platform. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're right. I think you're right, Pastor Ernie. I wouldn't give them a platform either, because I would just tell the truth of the gospel like we do every, you know, every night. We lay out the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think they should give us a platform to come on their show. How's that, Pastor Ernie?
Hey, well, you know, that ain't going to happen. You know how the left works, is deceit and hypocrisy. You know, we embrace truth. Remember what the CEO of public radio just said recently, that sometimes it's better to lie than tell the truth, because sometimes a lie works better than the truth. And that's what she came right out and said. And so, anyhow, you only got about a minute left, John.
Okay. Well, here is the what's the background to this? God is holy, folks. And holy is without sin. He can't look upon sin. I mean, he is God. And we rebelled against him. Mankind rebelled against him, and we're in sin. And there's a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death, and that is eternal life separated from God in what's called the lake of fire. God loves you. He sent Jesus Christ, holy, virgin-born, he's without sin, to take our sin upon him. If we don't, and confess him as our Lord and Savior, if people don't do that, they will stand before holy God and give account for every sin that they've ever committed. And there's no, the penalty for that is death, separation from God from eternity. So right now, you can confess Jesus, repent, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross, shed his blood, pay the penalty for your sin, and rose from the dead bodily 3 days later, and God will accept you into his heaven.
Okay, John, when people hear the pastor giving that invitation, he's just a messenger. It's coming from God. We're out of time. We're out of time for tonight. So we want to say good night.
Bye.
God bless. And always, always, ready?
Always, always.
Keep fighting.
Fighting.
The fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.